Hey everybody, my name is Josiah. I am here with Pace Maynard, a good friend of mine, guitar player, touring musician. He plays in a band, Universal Psy. And today we are going to talk about 33 tips for touring. And I wrote these tips out and Pace has not heard them before. So we're going to get some genuine reactions from him about all of this. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you have a good time. Pace, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Pace, give me like the 30-second pitch. Who are you?
My name is Pace Maynard, and I live here in Athens, Georgia. I play in a band called Universal Psy. We play roughly 100 shows a year. We're working on putting out our second album right now.
Sick.
I also help start and run a music festival called Psy in July here in Athens.
4 years, right?
Yes, this will be the fifth Psy in July, fourth festival.
Nice.
I used to book Universal Psy. We have an agent now. Shout out to Erwin Shemakowitz of Ever Upward Entertainment. I do still manage Universal Psy, and I've booked a number of other Georgia-based artists around the Southeast.
Perfect. Pace does like regional booking and is like does booking for some smaller bands, and then his primary band has an agent. So you're in like a really good position as someone who's been doing it for like 6-7 years. Really understands the in and outs of the market, and especially the in and outs of booking your own tour and touring. You want to dive right into it?
Sure,
I got 33 tips for you. Oh, I got 32 tips for you. I'll make up a tip somewhere in the middle. I'll bring it up to 33 because I already did the title.
33 is a good number.
33 is a good number. 33.
It's one more than 32.
Okay, tip number one. This means a lot to me. This is why it's number one. Wrap your toothbrush in a paper towel when you're touring. What do you think about that?
A paper towel inside of a plastic bag? Or just
a paper towel inside of a plastic bag. Yeah.
Oh.
That's smart, right?
How often do you change paper towel?
Not often enough, probably. Maybe like every week.
I've just put mine in a plastic bag, straight in the bag.
Straight in the bag?
Straight in the bag.
It's so gross, man.
It looks pretty gross by the end.
But... yeah. Yeah, you wrap it up in the paper towel. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I'm not totally sold on that one, but I'd be willing to try it. I've just used cling wrap a lot, too, because I don't have Ziploc bags at my house all the time.
Oh, the legs, like
so
saran wrap?
I just put some saran wrap
in only. How often do you change the saran wrap out?
Until I get a plastic bag from some random house that we're staying at.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, tip number two, Gold Bond. You ever used Gold Bond?
I have used Gold Bond.
Yeah, so tip number two is Gold Bond is essential for summer tour.
I think that's a good tip.
It's a good tip.
I think it's just essential for summer.
Yeah, it's just essential for summer. You know, I met, I was running sound at Livewire, and the band that came through, they were all wearing bathing suits. And I was like, y'all are touring in bathing suits? And it was, they were like, yeah. That's like the new thing is to just tour in the summer in bathing suits.
Do they only have bathing suits on?
They only had bathing suits on. Bathing suits and shirts. They were wearing shirts.
Gotcha.
And like flip flops. And they're a reggae band. It was very stereotypical, but they swore by it.
It just depends on the kind of bathing suit. I don't know about the netting.
Because the netting, right?
I like board shorts. They don't have the netting.
They don't have the netting?
Yeah.
But then you still need underwear.
I don't know. So I've gone both
ways. How close are you trying to get with your bandmates? That's the real question. All right. Tip number four. Tip number three. Designate a tour manager.
Or designate a tour manager? That's a great tip.
Yeah. That's important.
That is important.
Someone to keep the cats in a line.
Yeah. Someone to get the money.
Get the money.
Always get the money.
Always get the money.
And never forget
to get the money.
To always get the money.
Never forget to always get the money. That's important. Okay. Tip number four. I know that you can relate to this one. Air mattresses will pop and deflate over time, so you should get a cot instead.
Yes, I'm a big advocate of the cot. It is essential to my way of touring.
To your way of life.
Yes. We've gone through many air mattresses, and I don't think an air mattress has ever lasted us more than 2 to 4 weeks, tops.
Yeah. Pace and I have actually cuddled on an air mattress on the road before in Florida.
I believe it.
Yeah, I remember. And they had a big dog who came and like stepping on the air mattress, popping holes in it. It was super.
I won't turn down an air mattress if somebody has one. I'll take the air mattress over the cot if it doesn't leak.
Really? I might just go straight for the floor because you end up there anyway. By the end of this.
Well, like the cot is not the most comfortable option, but it's consistent.
It's consistent.
You're getting like an 80, 85 every night.
You can like a 65 every night, but it's a consistent
A tour 85.
Yeah.
Whereas true. A couch could be an 85 or it could be like a 40.
You're right.
You know, you just really don't know.
Yeah.
So occasionally a couch could be better, but.
But then it's like, what has happened on this couch?
Yeah.
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 If you own a cot, you know what has happened on the cot.
Yes. We have, and the cots are just a way better investment than the air mattresses because the cots only cost like $30 and they last like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. That's
and the air mattresses last like 2 or 3 weeks.
I was thinking about getting like a really big cot, like an extra one, like someone made for someone who's like 6'8", like 300 pounds.
Gotcha. So what Jones does, every time without fail is he puts down a sleeping pad on top of the cot,
mm-hmm.
which improves it a lot. I've done that some and it definitely improves it, but I'm just lazy and often don't have my sleeping pad.
And it keeps you warm because the cot is just on air. So it, like your whatever side you're laying on gets cold.
I have in my bag that my blanket is at all times, though, a sleeping pad as well,
because mm-hmm.
occasionally there's not enough room to set up a cot.
That's
and
true.
Usually it also doubles with there not being enough sleeping spaces anyway.
Yeah.
So then if you need to fit into a smaller area, a sleeping pad is really good.
Because yeah, like your cots are fucking heavy.
Oh, yeah. No, we have the clunky like Walmart.
Walmart cots, yeah.
No, my sleeping pad, though, is really, really nice. That's the reason I don't use it every night. Is because it is for like
backpacking.
It's lightweight for long distance backpacking. So I wouldn't want to have to replace it for backpacking because it popped on tour.
Absolutely. Oh, that'd be brutal.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. Number five, invest in a shop vac for cleaning the van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could also just say vacuum the van.
Or you could
even
just say
if it's
vacuum
not a shop
the van.
Vac, like I use our regular vacuum all the time.
Just a Black & Decker duster.
And every tour I always, I vacuum it out every tour for sure.
That's so good of you.
I mean.
Bands don't do that.
I don't want to see what happens and you if you don't. It's pretty bad as yeah. is.
And you get your like friends band coming to play the local bar and they like invite you into their van and you're just like, what the fuck? Y'all need to clean this guy. All right. Tip number six. This one's a formula. I forgot I did this. Okay. It's number of musicians times 5 minutes plus number of bathroom breaks times 5 minutes plus number of major cities driven through times 10 minutes plus number of meals eaten on the road times 5 minutes equals additional time on the road. The gist of this is just to like,
that sounds way more complicated.
Give yourself like an extra 3 hours to get wherever you're going.
Yeah, that sounds way more complicated than ours, which is for every hour that Google Maps says, add 15 minutes. And if it's a meal, add an extra hour.
That's much simpler. I should have gotten you to write that. That's much simpler.
Yeah, well, that's just
so
what
like
we
an
found.
8 hour drive is like,
you're going to
add another
two
more
hours to it. Yeah,
plus a meal plus 3 hours. So that's 11 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's a minimum.
Minimum. Yeah, that's like with no problems and no traffic.
Yeah,
and
if you're
going to
cross,
well.
If you're going to cross any major city like Atlanta or Charlotte or Nashville or,
yeah.
you know, Dallas or DC or any of those cities,
yeah.
you got to plan for that too. I mean, one mm-hmm. time it was supposed to take 4 hours to go from DC to New York City and it took 8 hours.
Nashville's not too bad because you can just cruise right through.
Yeah, Chattanooga has a bottleneck. So if you go at the wrong time, it could be a pain to get there. Or like getting to Chattanooga from Athens, for example, you have to cross Atlanta. So it's like, you'd have to leave really early and get there way before your gig or sit in horrible traffic forever.
Yep. Such is the life. That's what we signed up for, I guess.
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. All right. Tip. All right. Number seven. Always have a spare tire.
Yes.
Yes. We've never had to change a tire on the road, but.
I've never had to change the van tire, luckily, but we've had to
but
trailer tires.
Trailer tire, yeah. So always have a spare trailer tire and a spare van tire. Number eight, this relates from personal experience. Change your transmission fluid every 50,000 miles, even when they tell you every 100,000.
Yeah, I think changing your fluids earlier rather than later is a good idea.
Yeah, and when you're putting on like 20,000 miles in a month, it's like easy to slack.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, number 9, keep all of your receipts.
Yes.
Pace, you're pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Every band I've toured with has been really good about that.
So we keep all of our gas receipts. We don't keep every receipt, but most of the other ones are just food, and we put it all on our card. So at least there's a
the band card.
Yeah,
the band card has a record of all
the pretty much everything. Yeah. And the gas is on there too. We just specifically put all the gas receipts together because it's our biggest expense.
I heard that you're supposed to keep track of your mileage.
Yes.
You can actually get more off on your taxes if you log your mileage instead of the amount you spend. Have you heard that?
We just log both and give them to our accountant.
Yeah, there you go. We just have a person that does this for us.
I give it to my guy.
I give it to my guy.
Well, actually, our accountant's a woman, so
I give it to my my accountant.
Yes.
that's the gender neutral term, I think. The accountant. Okay, number 10. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, that about says it all.
I don't do drugs on tour. I keep it pretty straight-laced because I don't like being hungover and I like waking up and getting shit done the next day and like being in the van, being productive. But I have seen...
Well, we would go on tour early on and we would just like count the number of nights in a row we'd get offered cocaine.
Yeah.
But it just like, it was every night. So we just, you know.
Yeah, you're up until infinity.
But yeah, no, my advice is don't do cocaine.
Yeah, just don't do it. Just don't do it. It's
like Nike says, just do it, except just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Number 11. This is a good one. This is actually a really good one. Beer does not count as a meal. Neither does coffee.
Both of those are good rules, especially the coffee one.
Especially the coffee one, right? Yeah. Because breakfast is like, you wake up at like 7:30 in the morning and you've got a long drive and you get in the van and you stop at the gas station and you get a cup of coffee and like a banana. And that's the like breakfast of champions on the road.
Yeah, it kills your appetite. It suppresses your appetite.
Mm-hmm.
So if like half the band is drinking coffee and half the band isn't, then like everyone's hungry at different times.
That's true. You've got to coordinate your meals.
Yeah, and when you only have one vehicle, you gotta mm-hmm. plan all that out.
And it's also it's a diuretic, so it's more bathroom stops. And the acidity is probably pretty terrible on your system, so it's just not healthy.
Yeah, as a band, we've tried to drink less coffee overall.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely are all fond of coffee.
I'm on I'm using caffeine pills now.
Oh yeah, I've taken caffeine
pills. I have 200 milligram caffeine pills.
That's good.
Because I save like $100 every time I go on the road.
That makes sense.
Because I'm never buying coffee anywhere.
We actually brought a coffee maker with us for a while.
Nice.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it does cut into your budget, but it's also so nice to just go have a cup of coffee at a coffee shop in a city when like you know you can't afford to do anything else.
Yep.
Except for like have a cup of coffee. Coffee shop. Yeah.
All right, I've got $4 and 6 hours to kill.
And the beer thing too, we don't have this issue, but like we stayed with somebody once who I've seen since and he's doing awesome. I love this guy. But the first time we stayed with him for like 2 or 3 days. And I don't think I saw him eat anything the whole time, except for like 1 or 2 slices of pizza that we gave him because we were like really concerned because he was just drinking literally the entire time. And he like didn't go to work. And I think just ended up quitting his job because he was just like hanging out with us, but none of us were drinking. He was, you know what I mean?
But like, he was the only one drinking?
Yeah. And in the morning too, he like was like, no, I'm just going to have beer for breakfast. And we were like, I don't know about that, but.
Yeah. Not a meal. It's not a meal.
Nah.
Not lunch, not dinner. Number 12. If they don't give you a limit on your food buyout, order the whole menu. Which kind of ties into number 13, which is bring a cooler.
Yeah, but you're saying like at a restaurant, if they don't give you a limit, just like get appetizers and like order 2 entrees.
Order like 2 meals, order a meal for now and then like a post meal.
Yeah, gauge whether that's going to be acceptable. But if it is acceptable, every time, order as much food as possible.
Yeah, as much food as possible. Because fries,
last or even days. If they do give you if like you have $100 and there's four of you, like milk that $100, you know. Yeah. Order before and like in the middle, like, you know, if you take a set break, go order food for afterward.
Mm-hmm.
Before the kitchen closes.
Yeah, that's smart. And if you've got a cooler,
I'm a big
you can actually like keep food and like go grocery shopping.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of venues that feed you.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Number 14.
Oh, wait, so 13 was the cooler, then?
13 was bring a cooler.
Because I do think that bringing a cooler is a fantastic idea.
It's a great idea.
The first band that I talked to about that did it all the time was Consider the Source.
Yeah.
And
I see them posting videos.
I've done it sometimes and not other times. It's way easier in the winter because you don't have to get ice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It'll keep for a couple days. And also, it depends on how many days off you have. Because if you're doing a lot of like 5-night runs, 1 or 2 nights off, it's... can be more of a pain to be trying to prep food and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? But like, for example, this tour we're about to go on, we're going to have like 4 days off after the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I'm just going to like go ahead and bring the big cooler and prep a bunch of food for those days off before we even leave.
Yeah. And just like have sandwiches.
And have like a bunch of stuff you can eat cold.
Cut up some veggies.
Like, yeah, tabbouleh and like a ton of hummus and like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff.
Pace is a really good cook. Also.
I'm an okay cook.
No, he's really good.
My partner Julie is an amazing cook.
His partner Julie makes Pace look like he's a bad cook. Pace is a good cook.
I've learned a little bit from her.
They're both incredible. Shout outs to Julie.
Yeah, Julie's awesome.
What's up, Julie? I went out on the road with these guys for a little bit. We were very fortunate in that we were able to stay with family members and like close friends when we were on the road that let us use a kitchen. So we were able to like cook big meals and do family style dinners and family style breakfast. And that was really great. I value that a lot, being on the road. And so it's nice to just like sit down and have some peace and quiet and eat a meal at a table in a kitchen that you cook the meal in.
Yeah, I like
cooking. In the middle of the chaos of being on the road.
I really like cooking on the road.
Yeah.
If everyone's chipping in to help.
Yeah.
It can be terrible if you're the only one doing it.
And then, yeah.
I also really like cleaning up the kitchen. Preferably if I'm cleaning, I didn't cook.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really like cleaning the kitchen too, because it's one of those activities that it makes you feel at home when you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's very like,
that's zen, it. Exactly.
You know? And yeah. So you just like, you're like, oh, this is kind of like my home because I'm like doing this thing that I do every day when I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't do at all on tour.
There's got to be a word for that. Will someone comment the word for that? And I'll read it in the future. And no. Okay. I'll move on to number 14. Sleep in clean underwear. I actually stole that one from Frasco.
Does that mean you change your underwear Frasco. After the gig?
Yeah, change your underwear after the gig. Even if you can't shower. I think that's so important. And I stole that from me.
I think it definitely would make sense, especially if you're like a front man sweating or the drummer running around, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sweating a lot. I don't feel like I'd have ever done that unless I showered.
Unless you got a shower?
Uh-huh. I don't think it's a bad tip, but I don't know if I'm going to start doing it immediately.
Think about it. You know, because like you're sweaty and gross, and
mm-hmm.
especially if you don't get a shower the next day either. And it's yeah. like, I have a whole set
well, what
of
I
like
do is I just go
performance
sleep.
Underwear. I have like clothes and then I have like performance underwear.
If I don't take a shower, I just try to take a tour shower, which is where I just like change my underwear and my shirt.
Yeah. Splash some water on your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brush your teeth. Absolutely.
Tour Copy shower.
That. Tour shower. Tour shower. Oh. Speaking of tour shower, actually not really. This is a great tip. This is courtesy of Gavin of Funk You.
Oh, good.
And it is try not to shit yourself on stage.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I've definitely heard stories like that before.
Because you hear stories, because the story will get out.
Yeah.
And if you do, you just gotta, I don't know.
You gotta own it. I mean, you either gotta like get off stage real quickly or just like, you know, like Lenny Kravitz, you know? Just
like Lenny Kravitz,
keep
yeah.
Keep going.
Oh, man. All right. Number 16. Advance everything with the venue.
I think this is a good idea.
When do you call in advance? 2 days? 2 weeks?
It depends on the venue.
Depends on the venue.
I'm pretty bad about doing it often. So you definitely, if you have a good agent, you can go on tour and not advance the stuff, and it's going to work out most of the time.
Yeah, because your agent is sending them
stage
plots and...
Yeah, exactly. And so if all of the info in my spreadsheet is accurate,
mm-hmm.
then, like, in theory, I don't need to advance the show, and I often don't. But it's definitely a better idea to advance the show and make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
I think generally just, like, sending out an email the Monday week of...
Yeah, just, like, to all the
venues
is
professional.
Is there anything weird going on? Like, is there construction?
Often the Often the venues already reached out to us and... You know, previously. Yeah. So
me as a fill-in bass player, because the stage plots aren't updated for me. Like Rob was a singer, so everywhere I went with Funk U, they would like try and give me a microphone. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess it's just the little things. It's just about like, you know, being professional and being efficient. But again, if you have a good booking agent who's really on top of it,
I just know that from experience because I've probably many tours I've. Not advanced the majority of the shows and they've all gone fine.
Yeah.
I hope
it's a little stressful on the sound guys and like the production people.
Oh, well, I mean, when I say I didn't advance the show, I meant like they definitely already had our stage plot and input list from our agent.
From your agent.
It was advanced in that way. Like that information always gets to them. What I mean though is like checking in week of and just being like, you know, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to be here this weekend, right?
Yeah, like we're still coming, right?
Yeah.
Like this show didn't get double booked, did it?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never had that happen. Has that ever happened to you?
We've gotten double booked. I don't know if we've ever showed up to play. There have been nights where we showed up and there were two bands and there was supposed to be one band, but I don't think it was a double booking necessarily. I think we just weren't told there was another band.
Or they just like threw another band on the bill real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they wanted to start earlier and later.
Double booking is not cool. If you book a venue, don't double book.
No. But that's usually just a miscommunication between an outside promoter and the bar owner.
Yeah.
That's like always what it is.
I have seen promoters go with basically the first come, first serve model instead of like using holds and stuff. And sometimes I've seen... rooms get double booked because they're just trying to get whoever confirmed as quick as possible. And they end up doing that for a bunch of different nights and confirming two bands by accident.
Yep. Number 17, unlimited data for entertainment and work in the van.
That is something I wish that I had.
Yep. I have it.
Nice. What does it cost every month?
It's $45. Dude.
Not bad.
It's not bad. Straight talk. Actually, it's 55. When I go on, when I'm touring, I change my phone plan to accommodate unlimited.
So you can change it only on the month you go?
I change it only on the months that I go.
That's cool.
I tether to my computer from my phone.
If I didn't, I would definitely way more strongly consider getting it if I didn't already have the unlimited data access on my phone.
Yeah.
It would be really awesome to be able to get on another device though.
Like a hotspot?
Yeah, like a laptop or an iPad.
You can actually write off the cost of mobile, like a mobile 4G LTE
makes sense.
Router, essentially. You can write that off on your taxes, which is pretty cool. Cool. All right, number 18. Electrical tape solves a lot of problems.
This is true. Yeah. Electrical tape.
Electrical tape.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I've fixed amps with it. My phone, we're live streaming this right now. My phone is held up on the same stand as the camera with e-tape.
Just a variety of tapes is really useful.
Of tapes, yeah. Gaff tape.
Yeah, duct tape.
Duct tape, e-tape.
Anything's wrong with the drum set, just duct tape it.
I fixed my bass strap with gaff tape mid-show once. That was rough. That was in Baltimore. That was at the 8x10.
I've never played there, but...
My bass strap just like fell off. I ripped a hole right through the strap. Yeah, like in the middle of a song. It was awful. Dented my bass. It's terrible.
Oh, it fell like all the way to the ground?
It fell all the way to the ground. Yeah.
Damn.
I just got a chair. I had someone in the audience bring me a chair and I just sat on the chair.
You weren't just like doing the one-legged.
The one-legged. For about 10 seconds. And then I was like, someone in the audience should bring me a chair right now. And they did. And I crushed. It was a great set. Like Anthony Jackson plays that way. Like old people, old musicians sit down and play. Mm-hmm. And I'm so jealous. I can't wait till I'm old. I'm gonna hit 55 and I'm gonna say no more standing, chair only.
I noticed that in a.
Cause it's way more fun.
The Widespread Panic set list. Mm-hmm. It said JB seated first set.
Yeah. Let's do number 19. Oh, group stretch for morale before the show. Do you guys do group stretches?
We don't do group stretches. I'm into it though. We all stretch independently. We just all have different areas that we're focusing on often.
Like stretching areas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just like different like exercises that people do every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like people have different routines. Often there's not a lot of room wherever we are.
Yeah.
To do a lot of stretching.
It's like usually a parking lot.
Yeah, but I usually try to like do whatever version of like a couple sun salutations and like forward folds and stuff that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Within like half an hour before the show, preferably like 10 minutes
before the show. Like 10 minutes before the show. Yeah. With Funk U, man, our tour manager, his name was Coach. His name is Evans Carter, old Coach. And we got him a whistle. He had a whistle and he would corral us and we'd get like 10 minutes of like super high energy, like pumped up stretching in before our sets.
Oh, we've done some cardio
stuff. And it was great. Yeah, it was like cardio, jumping jacks.
Yeah, jumping jacks. We've done stuff.
And he would like coach it up, you know?
I've heard that if you get your heart rate up, that like your show will be better.
It's way better for your arms as a bass player, for sure. To get your blood moving for like tendonitis or something.
I wish that we played in venues that had a big enough green room that I could put out my yoga mat every single night and like actually, you know, practice before.
Yeah, you'll get there. We'll both get there. We're still youngins.
I definitely think that like being in the right like mental headspace is just as, if not more important than physically warming up your hands on your instrument.
Yep. All right, I'll do that one right now. I'll just go ahead and do warm up before every show.
Yes.
Like bands that don't warm up, it's like, are you just okay with sucking for the first two songs?
Yeah, I mean, I get
it's like, do you not tune either?
Well, if you're on tour, there's been plenty of nights where like...
Because you're just such in a rhythm of it.
Yeah, or there's not time to warm up. Or like you play for like 10 minutes, you're like, oh yeah, this feels good.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally warming up for like 20 to 30 minutes at least is like where you need to get the juices flowing.
Like consider the source. Those guys warm up for hours before they play. And then they crush. Number 21. Tums, Goody Powder, Febreze, Vitamin C. Rank them. All right, I'll go first. I'll lead. Okay, so I think... Vitamin C is number one, Tums is number two, Febreze is number three, Goody Powder is number four. Do you know what Goody Powder is?
It's basically Tums, isn't it?
No, it's like
It's like, isn't it a headache thing?
It's a headache thing, yeah. It's like a leave.
Yeah, I'd probably just take vitamin C and leave the rest unless I really needed them.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the stuff that Tums and the Goody Powder addresses
can be just alleviated by taking care of yourself
by drinking a ton of water.
Yeah,
generally.
Yeah,
you know, and there's some other things you could try if the water doesn't work. But and then Febreze, I don't know. I'm not. I'd rather just like burn some like incense or Palo Santo or something
in the van. Yeah, because it's got that like Febreze smell.
It's yeah, like it's like chemicals.
It's a chemical. You're right. Yeah. I shouldn't have even. You're right. What if that?
My heavy ass wants to burn Palo Santo.
Unless, well, yeah. I'm just like Febrezing people down. That's the tour shower. All right, number 22. Be prepared to sleep on the floor. That kind of ties into the
The sleeping pad. That's like the sleeping what I was pad. Saying is,
yeah, because you have the sleeping bed.
Like we had to sleep in an apartment in Brooklyn, where there was only floor space and there was no AC, and it was like the middle of the summer.
Ooh.
And that was rough. But we did it.
Nice. You were prepared to do it, too.
Oh, here's a tip that probably isn't on there.
All right.
But it relates to that gig.
This number 33.
If you play in New York City, get the fuck out of the city after your gig.
That's a good tip.
It'll be much, much less of a headache, and you won't have to drive around for like an hour or two looking for parking.
That's true. Just like finish the gig and just leave.
Yeah. And it's true with other cities too. I mean, I know a lot of bands, like high crime cities like Chicago or St. Louis. If you don't have a specific place to stay, a lot of bands will drive like 100, 150 miles away from the city.
Wow. That's actually smart.
Yeah. So they don't get trailer jacked or whole rig jacked.
Number 23, get cases for your gear.
Yes.
Yes. I think just yes all around.
Yeah, especially obviously for your guitars.
Yeah.
The amps,
hard cases.
Yeah, red cases. Like AT, what are they called? ATA flight cases.
I don't want to embarrass myself, but
I think that's what
American Transport.
Oh, I have no idea what Association.
Who knows?
I have no idea. but yeah, no, your amps, like everything is rattling all the time.
All the time. You're going to destroy your gear if you don't.
You
have
definitely want to put your amps in cases.
Yeah.
Drums can wait, but often the drums sit up on top of everything else, so it's just really better to have them in hard cases.
Yeah.
You spend a bunch of money on the gear.
Right.
Spend a bunch of money to keep the gear in great condition, because if you tour with an amp for, like, you know, a couple of years not in a case, it's going to be in a very poor condition compared to it'll be exactly the same as it was before if you toured with a case. Our cases are real expensive. We've used the Georgia Case Company.
Mm-hmm.
It's pricey, but it's really quality.
It's super quality. Yeah.
Let's say you're touring like in a big rig scenario, like mm-hmm. a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
Then like you might have a piece of gear that if it shifted the wrong way, it could like puncture the wall of your case or whatever.
Mm-hmm, like a lighting rig or something.
Yeah, which is what it's for. The case is, so if that happens, it's not your amp. But I think Georgia Case Company is just like thicker than the cheaper ones.
I love Georgia Case Company. At the Georgia Theater, which is where I work, we get cases that roll up through there that are like 30 years old. I mean, we get some real old, terrible cases that have been like upkept for decades.
We didn't buy all of our cases at once though. We just cased like our amps and like Austin's bass head.
Yeah. Amp heads. And then another tip that I have on here that I'll go ahead and do is taking out a musician's insurance policy. Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea.
Do you guys have insurance?
We don't have insurance. But we should.
Number 24. Be honest with your bandmates.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
That is a good
Communication
idea.
Communication is the most important part of it.
Because, like, you're not going to agree. And you're going to have problems.
Yeah, we have a rule that we learned from Umphrey's McGee that we don't implement as often as we should.
What is the rule?
But the idea is if anything bothers you for more than 24 hours, you're obligated to tell whoever it is
mm-hmm.
or tell the band what's bothering you, or else you got to let that shit go, because it's just going to fester and get worse and like build up. And so if you don't address it when it comes up, then you're doing everyone else a disservice.
Yeah. I resonate with that 100%.
It's a lot easier said than done.
Yes. Because it's hard to like step outside of yourself and realize that you have a problem.
It's hard to know.
And then
how
like
to...
addressing it in a way that doesn't come off as you being like grumpy or.
Or yeah, it's hard to know how to talk to people when you're on tour, because everyone's moods are fluctuating so dramatically and you all have something really important to do that you got to keep doing over and over, so mm-hmm. you don't want to like risk conflict.
Yeah. And it's stressful and you're not sleeping.
There's a lot of things that There's I wish that I could say and do as a tour manager that I feel uncomfortable doing because I'm also a band member.
Yeah. So get a manager.
Yeah. One day maybe.
And we'll be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Just all around. Just be
all
honest.
Around. Just be honest. I mean, you basically live with these people. If you're touring. Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Okay. Number 25. Don't forget to get the money.
Yes. Don't forget to get the money.
There's bands, I won't name any names, that played Psy in July that may not have still gotten their money.
Hey, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if it's like your local venue you play all the time and you know you can just go in on Tuesday and pick up money or whatever.
Because you like are homies with the owner.
Yeah, but I just don't understand. Like, we get paid so little to begin with. I don't understand why you would ever not go get paid after you performed.
Yeah. Or if you sell out before you perform.
Yes.
Which is a pretty great feeling, according to Pace.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
We finally had our first sold out show.
Yeah.
We were a support to Funk You, who sold out Aisle 5,
but my man.
It's still fantastic to be a part of it. And when we showed up, the owner of the venue was like, I'm ready to settle. Let's do it.
Yeah. Cool.
Before the gig.
Okay. Number 26. Multiple dummy checks. Discount double checks when you're leaving the house, restaurant, gas station, and venue.
For sure. Yeah. We always have somebody, or if not multiple parties, double check. And we used to have a checklist for all of our gear.
Yeah, I remember that. The itemized.
Every single night.
Yeah.
Until we just got it ingrained. And we haven't really left anything since we started using the checklist. Or I guess we haven't, since we stopped using the checklist.
Since you stopped using the checklist.
We lost a bunch of things before the checklist, which is why we implemented the checklist.
Yes. And it worked.
Yeah.
I have lost, this is my third water bottle. I have lost 2 Nalgenes on the road.
I've lost at least that many and had at least 2 stolen.
I think I had one stolen.
On stage.
I had one stolen. On stage?
In Barrel House South in Savannah, yeah. That's just in front of my pedal board.
What? What?
And after the gig, it wasn't there.
Savannah. Come on. What? I've had... Barrel House South is a pretty crazy place.
Yeah, somebody needed that water more than I did.
Yeah, I guess so. I had one. I left one in a porta potty at a festival that we played. And I left one on top of the self-checkout at Kroger.
I've been primarily...
in Indianapolis. So I guess we'll do that one next. Number 31, stay hydrated. Number 27. I'm not going in order. Try your best not to park illegally and get towed. You ever been towed or booted?
We have never been towed...
ticketed?
Or booted. We've been ticketed many times, and we've paid few of them. One time we got a ticket while Steve was in the van practicing guitar and he didn't notice.
That is great. That sounds very much like Steve.
We only pay tickets if we think we're going to be back there often, which right. Most cities we're only going to be back there like
Atlanta,
like 2 times a year
or Athens
at most.
Maybe Denver.
Yeah, like that one was in Columbia, Missouri. We didn't pay that.
Yeah.
We've gotten him in Chattanooga, didn't pay him. We always are careful not to get booted or towed. That'd be a pain in the ass.
It would be such a pain.
I feel like it'd be hard to tow our van and trailer, though, in some scenarios.
Yeah, how would they do that?
I still remember Gable. You know Gable?
Yeah, Larimore?
Yeah, Gable Larimore, who he's a really awesome lighting designer.
He's an excellent lighting designer.
Yeah, and he worked for Backup Planet for a long time before Backup Planet disbanded. We stayed with him in Chattanooga and played somewhere. And we left our van in this parking lot because he was like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's totally fine.
Word.
And of course, we show up and there's a ticket the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that was like, yeah, fuck that. When are you going to be back in Chattanooga? You're going to pay that shit. And we were like, oh, yeah, I guess not.
Yeah. Well, this is a good one. And this ties into the whole van thing, is having multiple sets of van keys.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ever been locked out of the van and to call AAA?
We haven't had to call AAA. We've been locked out of the van in Athens and had to go and get the other set of keys from the house. We started out with 3 sets of keys, and now we're down to 1 set of keys.
Nice.
Like 3 years later. But it costs like $175 to make another key.
Really?
So I think we're going to do it soon. But I was like really shocked when I found that out.
We need another key, though. You got to go to the sketch.
We really need another one.
To get the cheap. Keys. You gotta go to the sketchy neighborhood locksmith.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to make 1 set of keys for everyone and then be like, yo, you're responsible for this set of keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't work.
I mean, it would work for a little while.
For just, a little while.
Yeah.
Wouldn't work in the long
But when
term.
You have less number of keys than people, they're always changing hands, you know? One of them I'm positive we dropped in Savannah, which couldn't find. And then the other set of keys, I have no idea where it went. I have a feeling it's still gonna turn up somewhere. But
yeah.
Hasn't yet.
Hasn't yet. Number 30, get out of the van and stretch every time you stop.
Yeah, I'd get out every time.
Get out every time.
Unless you're like going to stay asleep.
Yeah, unless you're
somehow you
can
sleep through the stop. Yeah. But I can't tell you how many times I've woken up and we stopped and then been like, I'm just going to stay asleep. And then like 15 minutes down the road, I'm like, man, now I got to pee.
Yep. I should have got up. I should have got out. I should have got my blood moving.
Yeah, I pretty much always try.
It's just good for your body too. It's just good for your muscles and for your mind.
Stretch whatever you can't stretch, like stretch your legs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of car yoga though. Like eagle arms.
Yeah, you take good care of yourself.
And like I'll lay down on the bench and do like you know, thread the needle, like figure four pose, like this guy. Stuff like that. I'll sit up like this a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's a good posture. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 31. Stay hydrated. We already did that one. And then this is the last one. Number 32.
Stay hydrated should probably be number one.
Stay hydrated really should be number one. All right. We'll refilm the whole thing. And I'll lead with stay hydrated instead of the stupid shit about the toothbrush. I think it's important.
Well, there was a good one. It sparked conversation.
It's a good one. It's because it leads into interesting conversation right off the bat. Stay hydrated. Okay, and then the very last tip. Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to end it on a, you know.
Well, yeah, it's really easy to forget that that's the whole point of every stop.
Yeah.
It's for you to have fun, the audience to have fun.
Mm-hmm. To, like, help people escape their problems. And
yeah, otherwise, what's the point?
What's the point? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go be miserable somewhere else. All right, well, thanks. Thanks, everybody, for listening. My name is Josiah Garrett, joined here with Pace Maynard. We really appreciate it.